Persuasive paragraph. Persuasive paragraph. We're going, I'm going to ask you to convince me to get on your side.
In Gadsden County, Florida, one of the lowest performing districts in the state, sits Crossroads Academy Charter School. Crossroads has won national praise as a blue ribbon school of excellence, but it didn't start out that way. Principal Kevin Forehand says it's been an evolution.
It actually evolved from an alternative program. When the charter school law came out in 1996, we picked it up in 1997. I don't want to say we had to shave the alternative image, but we had to become more than just an alternative school.
Crossroads has survived, going from the school of last resort to first choice. Yet for every three charter schools that succeeds, one fails. Florida has a 30% charter school failure rate, and a big part of that is financial. Adam Miller, leader of Florida's School Choice Office, defends the number of closed schools and the method of counting them.
That includes schools that merge. It includes schools that never actually opened. It was a school that gets a number. There is some context that's important. For example, if you look at that state database, there's also, I think, 1,200 traditional public schools that show up as closed as well.
I think we're now at a point you have to make a decision. Reinstitute a moratorium on charters, or you bleed them to death.
Charter school lobbyist Jim Horn wants the State Board of Education to support more funding for charter schools. He's a former Florida Education Commissioner. Charters have historically received less funding than their traditional school counterparts, and that's largely due to a disparity in school construction and maintenance dollars. During the past few years, charters have gotten the bulk of the state-based funding for those projects. But Robert Weissert, vice president of research for the think tank Florida Tax Watch, points out it's not enough.
Whether it's the state money that's coming out or the local money, it's all taxpayer money funding public schools. And so we need to find a distribution that's fair for the students.
The charter school lobby is once again eyeing local school district tax dollars to make up the difference. Some districts share that money with charters while others don't. It's a similar story in Tennessee, where less than 100 charters have managed to open and only a handful have closed. Tennessee Charter School Center Policy Director Emily Lilly credits that slow and steady approach with Tennessee's low closure rate, but she notes that could soon start to change. Tennessee is also home to the Achievement School District, which oversees the conversion of low-performing traditional public schools into charters.
We actually passed a piece of legislation last year that everyone kind of colloquially referred to as the Default Closure Act, which says that if a charter school appears on the state's priority list, which is the bottom 5% that's kind of eligible for ASD takeover, then that charter school would be automatically closed. And
that list comes out in 2017. Meanwhile, Georgia, Florida's northern neighbor, has 118 charter schools. Louis Ersti, director of the Georgia Department of Education, says the state has been picky when it comes to who can operate a charter.
We make it moderately difficult to get a charter because we want to make sure that you actually, can do a good job before we risk, any educational ill for any children that might attend your school.
Georgia has launched a commission on school funding to address the financial disparities. And Tennessee is also looking at ways to close the gap, doing like Florida and focusing in on those local school district dollars for maintenance and construction. For the Southern Education Desk, I'm Lynn Hatter.